Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Well, whether it's the pronunciation or the reputation for elegance, French wines can be a little intimidating. But we're lucky to have Jessica Bell with us today. She's the founder and CEO of My Wine School, and she wants to make French wine accessible and fun for all of us. Jessica, as always, great to have you with us.
Glad to be here, Judith.
Well, it is Bastille Day, so it just seemed like such a great day to be talking about French wine and French food. We just talked with Betsy Piper, Chef Betsy Piper, about French food, and one of the recipes that she shared with us. Let me remind myself of it here. It's goat cheese and rosemary cookies.
Oh, yum.
And she was saying that it would be the perfect kind of little snack with a glass of wine before dinner.
Definitely.
You know, kind of get those taste buds going. What kind of wine would go well with goat cheese and rosemary?
Well, good segue, Judith. I just cracked open a wine. I don't know if you heard it. This is actually a screw cap, which I think is... people don't often associate French wine with screw cap. Here, I'll give you a little. Sorry to make you all thirsty.
Yeah, well, they're all hungry already. So it's, you know.
But goat cheese is typically a great pairing with Sauvignon Blanc. Goat cheese typically has a good amount of acid in it. It's a softer cheese, and Sauvignon Blanc has a real nice high acid profile, but also it has that citrus note. Mm-hmm. That's just going to be awesome with goat cheese. And so what I've got here is a Bordeaux Blanc. Hmm. And this really helps us segue into how French wines are understood and classified. So when you see a Bordeaux Blanc, that's telling you it's from the region of Bordeaux, and it's Blanc, it's white.
White.
You know, I got to start from the basics here. But the way that the French understand and organize their wine is through regions. It's typically regional, whereas New World and America, we tend to think of our wines through grapes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why looking at a French label, it looks even more foreign than it might, because we're not seeing those words like Pinot Noir or
Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, which is how we associate wine. I will say the American consumer is starting to become even more sophisticated in the regard that they're not only looking at grape varietals, but they're also looking at regions, mm-hmm. too. So, and it's just because we're a young wine-drinking country, and a great, easy way to get familiar with wines is to understand grape varietals. Whereas France has been making wine forever. It's integral to their personality and who they are as a culture and as a people. And so they've had a lot of time to make it really complicated. And there's actually really great reasons for its complicated structures. Back in the late 19th century, there was a lot of fraud, wine fraud. Hmm. And so they created these systems. It's called the AOC system, where it was a system by which they could start to control production and to guarantee a certain, at least style of wine, mm-hmm. if not even quality of wine, so that people couldn't slap Burgundy on their label, even though they're making it in a place outside of Burgundy and
right.
far inferior.
Well, and I think Champagne is the perfect example
exactly.
of that, because we use Champagne as a kind of a generic word, but really the only sparkling wine that can be called Champagne is from the Champagne region.
You got it. And it's legally it's protected all around the world, including the United States. So wine producers in the United States cannot put Champagne on their labels because it has to come from a very relatively small mm-hmm. region in France. And it's the basis for most other sparkling regions, making quality sparkling wine.
So they can say that another region or even somewhere in Italy or in Spain, I think, can say that it's made in the Champagne style, but they cannot say that it's Champagne.
They can't even say in the Champagne style.
Really?
Yeah, that
wow.
actually, at first, they did allow that. And I think it was in the 90s, I want to say. I'm kind of blanking on the exact year, but they actually outlawed Champagne method. So at first, Champagne was not allowed, but mm-hmm. then producers started to say,
they were
champagne
fudging
malted.
A little bit.
Yeah, so like they would, you know, méthode champenois or méthode champenois, depending on the language. Now you can't even say that. What you'll look for if you want a sparkling wine made in the same quality process that's used in Champagne, you look for traditional method.
Mm, okay.
So look for that traditional method is what's going to signify the same process that's okay. used in Champagne.
So you said AOC, and that stands for Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée. So it's
I'm glad you said it.
It's controlling the naming, the origin naming. So
correct.
So you can't say that, like you said, that a red wine is a Bordeaux unless it's from Bordeaux.
Exactly, and it's interesting because this concept didn't come from wine; it came from cheese. The first to do it was Roquefort, and then what happened was some really smart dude in Chateauneuf du Pape said, "Hey, so everyone's ripping off our name. Everyone's saying they're Chateauneuf du Pape, and they're not. So let's take a page from Roquefort's book, and we're going to do this for Chateauneuf du Pape." And so they were one of the first, if not the first, AOC in France, and then France really set the groundwork for all of Europe, and so most of Europe uses a very similar approach to understanding wine as does France.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Bordeaux Blanc.
All right.
And so the way that you'll start to understand French wine is that you'll, especially as an American, and we associate wine style with grape varietal, start to think about these wines by the grape that's used. Mm-hmm. So if you see a Bordeaux Blanc, almost always it's going to have some, if not all, Sauvignon Blanc in it. The other grape is Semillon. So it's usually a blend. But this one actually has Sauvignon Blanc on the label, which is a new thing. And by new, I mean in the last 5 to 7 years. For a long time, they couldn't even put grape varietals on their labels. Mm-hmm. So this is 100% Sauvignon Blanc. And you can see just great acid. Mm-hmm. I mean, our mouth, you know, you take a sip and your mouth is just watering.
Exactly. I was just going to say my mouth just started watering. And I'm also tasting it very high on the palate.
And that's because it's hitting your salivary glands. Because acid, any kind of acid mm-hmm. is going to get those salivary glands going. And you know, and the question is often, is there a similarity among French wines? And definitely, you know, they're all completely different, but there is a commonality between them in that they usually have really high acid.
Mm.
And the only reason for that is that they're further north okay. in the world, and so you're going to get more acid on your grapes in general.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you get a certain style.
People, it's a real brightness to it.
That's a great word. Some people will like to describe it as dry, even though in the wine world, people will talk about dry, meaning how much sugar is in mm-hmm. the wine. But because it's really austere, bright is a word. Some, you know, depending on whether they like it or not, they'll have different words for it. Tart, some might say, if they don't like it. Mm-hmm. That some people will describe that as dry when, in fact, it has nothing to do with the sugar content.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Jessica Bell from My Wine School. We are enjoying a discussion of French wine today on Bastille Day, the French national holiday, and we'd love to have you join in. Are you a fan of French wine? Do you have a favorite? We'd love to hear about it and why you like it. Or maybe you need a recommendation for a wine to go with a particular meal. Jessica's always happy to help. You can join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Well, you just mentioned that this wine that we're enjoying, the White Bordeaux, is mainly the Sauvignon Blanc grapes, but others also. So do the French do blends very often?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, the Americans do a lot of blends too, which is, but mm-hmm. we don't think they do because we just see grape varietals. But our laws are such that, for instance, in California, if you have at least 75% Cabernet, you can put Cabernet on the label, but there's usually 20% Merlot mm-hmm. and, you know, 5% this. And so blends make a lot of sense for wine because each grape is going to bring to the blend a certain characteristic, more acid, more tannin, more body, more alcohol, whatever it is. And when you can blend grapes, you really start to get a more balanced wine. And so it makes a lot of sense. Bordeaux is definitely a region of blends. So the whites from Bordeaux are going to be typically a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon. And the reds are going to be a blend primarily of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Hmm.
Then you have, like, you know, the B string, the bench players, who Cabernet Franc, Malbec and a couple mm-hmm. others. I won't get into all of them, but so you've got blends mainly of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
And in going along with the kind of demystifying some of the words that people might see on a French wine label, cuvée, C-U-V-E-E, it means blend.
Just blend. Yeah, definitely. Like, one to look for, I think, is fun, and it can signify better wines, is via vine, which means old vine. Mm-hmm. So, you're going to have to help me out with the spelling, but I think it's V-I-E-L-L-E-S.
Vieille vine.
Yeah, my French is, like I told you, has a Spanish accent on it.
Well, and as I told Jessica, when I first started speaking French with my eventually to be French husband, I actually spoke with a Russian accent because that was the language I had studied the most.
Right.
So, so it's saying that they're old vines, that they're well established, that it's a long history.
Yeah. Well, and typically older vines produce better quality grapes because as a vine gets older, it produces less and less grapes, less and less bunches, I should say. And the result is that all that flavor that would have gone into, say, 10 bunches is now going into 5 bunches. And so there's more concentrated flavors. Usually pay a little bit more for something.
I was going to say
it has via vine, but it's another, I think, word that when you start to break down French labels, they're not as crazy complicated as they seem, but I totally get it. You look at them and you think, I'm just going to go to the American section.
The New Zealand.
Which are great wines. Right.
Where they speak English. And another term that people might see is mise en bouteille, and that just means it was bottled at the vineyard.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, also, we talked a little bit about people saying dry, sec is the word for dry. D-O-U-X is
sweet.
Literally soft, but it's sweet.
Right, they'll use it for sweet. And there's different levels of that depending on which region you're in. For instance, be careful because if you get a sec champagne, it's actually sweet. Okay, so but if you get
because Brut would be
Brut is the dry.
Yeah.
So so be aware of that. But for the most part, if you're having a still white wine, it's a sec, it's gonna be dry. And then red wines, I've never really seen a red wine say sec because they're just all dry.
Yeah.
So
Well, we have a lot more to talk about with Jessica Bell. She's the founder and CEO of My Wine School, that's based in Chicago and Milwaukee. But we're always happy when she makes the trip over to Madison to join us in the studio. So much more coming up after a look at the news from NPR and WPR. So I hope you'll stay tuned. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Bastille Day, which is the French national holiday. So we're talking about French food, French wine, and some of the really accessible ways that you can start learning about both of those. We got some great recipes from Chef Betsy Piper in the first 45 minutes, and now we are talking with Jessica Bell of My Wine School. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Glad you're with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jessica is always great at making wine accessible and fun for all of us. Jessica, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. While you're there, check out the recipes that Chef Betsy Piper shared with us earlier in the show. Or you could send us an email at talk@wpr.org. Well, Jessica, I know that you were saying that French reds are often, there really aren't very many sweet French reds. Are French reds and French whites equally well known and respected, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and it depends on the region. I'd say there's about 6 to 7 major French regions. And when you're further north, it's going to be cooler, so they're going to be more well known for their white wines. Way north, we already spoke about with Champagne. That's as far north as winemaking really goes. And then you've got the Loire Valley, which is really well known for its white. So Sauvignon Blancs from Sancerre or Chenin Blancs from Vouvray, those are going to be primarily a white winemaking region. And then you start to get further south, you get into Burgundy. And now you see white and red. You see Chardonnay and Pinot Noir in Burgundy. We'll go down the Rhone River and we hit the Rhone, which is typically more well known for its reds. So there you'll start to see in the northern Rhone, Syrah, and you go a little further south, Grenache starts to do a lot better down in Châteauneuf-du-Pape and southern Rhone. Côte de Rhone, that's usually a Grenache-based blend. And then as you go further and further south, reds become more important. So to the west of the Rhone is Bordeaux. And in Bordeaux, I would say... I would think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but red is a lot, there's more production of red. That would be my guess. That's I'd love for someone to correct me. I'm always up for corrections, but in terms of what's available in the market. But whites are very important as well in Bordeaux.
Well, and here we are in the middle of summer, and I know that we have spoken before about French rosés and what a great summer wine they are. Tell us about those.
Yeah, well, the region that's really well known for French rosés is Provence, and they do it in a very, very pale pink color. They're beautiful. They've been doing them forever. And they're really dedicated to the quality of rosé wines. That's what they're known for. But that said, almost all those regions I just referred to make rosé wine. So definitely in the Loire, Burgundy, Bordeaux, and I didn't even mention Alsace, which is way east on the German border. And that being in the north, again, is mainly white wines.
And they tend to be sweeter in Alsace, correct?
Yes, more so than the rest of France. And the only reason, though, is because you've got higher acid, because it's cooler. And to balance that acid, you have some of the residual sugar from the grapes. It's not all vinified dry. And that you know, and I think there's a misconception that wines are sweet because you add sugar in, or they're sweet because they want to make them sweet, where sometimes the really good quality wines can be sweet for sake of balance. Think of lemon juice. It doesn't taste very good, but you put a little sugar in it and all of a sudden you have lemonade. The same is true of really highly acidic wines. Not to say that they all need to have residual sugar in it, but when they do, I just had one last night from Tokaj, which is in Hungary. And just it was extremely acidic, and just a touch of sugar in it actually made it super high quality, really well balanced.
We're talking with Jessica Bell, and we'd like to invite you to join in by calling 1-800-642-1234. Is there a particular style of wine that you enjoy and you'd like to know what the French equivalent might be? Jessica can answer that question and any others you might have. Do you have a special dinner coming up and you'd like to buy a bottle of wine that fits both your taste and your price point? We can help you find something that will fit your budget and that you'll enjoy as well. Again, 1-800-642-1234. And since I just mentioned budget, I think one of the ideas about French wine is that they're all expensive.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No. And I think it comes from the idea that they're not approachable for some, the labels, and that's changing. They're becoming more approachable. But I brought in two wines. The first one we had was a Bordeaux Blanc. That's right in the $10 to $12 range. And then I've got another one, which is from southern France. Here you go. Yeah. All for research purposes,
of course.
This one is a red that costs about $10 too, and it's called Loup-Garou. And the southern France region is going to have great values. So two places I like to look for values in France. There's going to be southern France. Languedoc is a great region to look for. Corbière, Faugère, even Côte de Rhône. I mean, that is a region that's in every supermarket. And those are going to be great values. Not only that, but they are great for the new French wine drinker. Because typically, people don't like French wines because they're acidic, as we mentioned earlier, or they're not fruity enough. Well, the Rhone and southern France are further south. And so on those wines, you're going to get a nice fruity flavor profile with still some of the acid and brightness that we mentioned that you mentioned earlier in our wine. So I definitely highly recommend Côte de Rhone as a great foray into the rest of the French wines. Then you can move from there.
So, and Côte just means the coast of. So Côte de Rhone is on the banks of the Rhone River.
Right.
There's Côte Vendue also, I believe. So that's another thing that you might see on a label. And as you gave me this red wine, I can't identify what fruit it is, but there's definitely kind of a berry-ish.
Yeah, definitely.
Send to it.
No, this one, I'll join you. Research purposes, good, of good course.
Good audio for radio is wine pouring.
This is actually way far south. So this one is primarily Grenache. And Grenache is hot right now, not only in France, but in Spain, in America. People are loving it because it has a real ripe flavor to it without being sweet. Mm-hmm. And so lots of blue fruit and black fruit, lots of ripe fruits that would come from a warmer region. And that has this on it. And I highly recommend checking out Grenache. They're soft. They have a little higher alcohol usually. They're real round, low tannin, so you don't have that real drying sensation on them. Mm-hmm. They're just easy wines to like. And that's what Côte de Rhône typically is primarily comprised of, is Grenache.
And so you said that Côte de Rhône would be a good kind of starter red French wine. What about a good starter white wine?
I love the whites from Southwest France. So there's Bordeaux, which is in Southwest France, but just south of that is a region called Gascogne. And it's not very well known, but there are a lot of white wines from that region on the market. What I love about them is they are the best values in France, in my opinion, and perhaps in the world. You can get great whites for about $10.
Wow.
And they typically are Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and then some of the more native varietals from that region, Colombard. That region is actually more well known for making Cognac's little brother, Armagnac. And so they'll use some of those grapes for...
Which are fortified wines.
Or that those are spirits.
Yeah, spirits.
Yeah, so it's a brandy. Right. So a brandy uses grapes as its base, mm-hmm. and then it'll distill it down to a spirit. So yeah, but it's like Terry Kay is a great producer that has this $10 mm-hmm. price point that you get great values. So and people love them because they're... Great fruit, easy, simple, really well made, but $10. And so there's not a whole lot of risk in entering into the world. Also, some of the what we call satellite regions of Bordeaux. So Bergerac, it's a Bordeaux lookalike, if you will. You can get those for, I know there's one at
Which
Whole Foods.
Which is the region of Cyrano.
Yes. And there's
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Well, and there's actually a wine that's called that, and it's $9.99. And it's great. I mean, so it's a great value wine, I'm going to say. And so definitely that's a great place to look. And they've got really great citrus fruits, high acid, really fun wines.
And so if someone is wanting to kind of experiment, what's the best way to do that? Is it to just drink the wine by itself? Is it to have it with food? Is it, you know, what do you write? Is it trying couple different wines at the same time? How would you encourage someone to do kind of a little mini home tasting?
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to be said about side-by-side tastings if you can afford that, or get a group together and get a couple bottles, because you start to be able to compare them and to understand them better when you can go back and forth. But if not, you can just dive in, you know, grab a bottle and maybe Google it and start learning a couple things here and there about it, and you know, take it for what it is. It's wine. You're having fun, and you know, look at it as every time you open a bottle of wine, it's another opportunity to learn a little bit more. But don't take it too seriously. I work in the business, so I'm going to take it seriously sometimes. But
don't let it stress you out.
No, it's not supposed. I think we're drawn to wine for its romantic, its history. You know, it really encourages getting together with people and talking to people. And so when you lose sight of that, I think we lose sight of what we love about it. I mean, that's why I was drawn to it. I think it's important to just have fun with it.
We're talking with Jessica Bell about the world of French wine. Do you have a question or a comment, maybe a favorite French wine to share, or a question about what French wine might suit your budget and your taste buds? We'd love to have you join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jason Butler, our on-air producer today. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. And it is Bastille Day, which is the French national holiday. What are some French wines that might be good for a special occasion?
Yeah, I think that obviously champagne is just the clear way to go when you're celebrating something. And those are usually a bit more expensive. But keep in mind, they're not going to be fruity. They're way far north, so they're going to be the fruit you might get on it are going to be citrus and green apple, and you're going to get more earthy, yeasty notes on it. So if you're looking for more of a fruity wine, then you want to go south. And some regions, you know, you could go to Châteauneuf du Pape is really a easy one to find. Usually you can find it at grocery stores, and it's going to run you about $30 to $40. But it's going to be that Grenache grape I spoke of earlier, which has a real soft, inviting palate to it. So it's a lot easier to drink. If you're not familiar with the wines, I wouldn't say go to the Burgundy section and pick something out, because it's just there's tons of small producers. It's difficult to know them, and they have what we call a good amount of vintage variation. So from year to year, the wines will change with regards to quality. And when you start spending more than, say, $30, $35, you should start to pay attention more or less to your vintages.
So was a 2000 better than a 2001?
Right.
Something like that.
When you're spending that much money, yeah. I do think, you know, it makes sense, unless you know the producer really well. Good producers, they're good because they will make good wines in almost any vintage. Mm-hmm. When you're not sure about the producer, then I would start paying attention to the vintage. And all you do is hop online, just Google vintage chart. Robert Parker has a fantastic one that's free. A number of the other wine critics do too, but you just go online, E. Robert Parker, it's free. That's what I think it was Einstein who said, why memorize something that you can look up? And that's my philosophy on it. There's so much to know about wine. I want to know where to find the information. But to spend time trying to memorize these elaborate vintage charts just makes no sense. I mean,
it's pretty clear you've memorized a lot of good information, but I can, you know, it's a balance,
right?
Especially since so many people are walking around with a smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, you never have to wonder anymore, right? If you wonder, you just
Google.
It's a
blessing and a curse, right? Isn't it? Well, Nathan in Madison has a question, so let's go to the phones. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm a really new wine drinker. I'm only 24 and have realistically only been drinking for 3 years. So wine's very new to me. I guess I'm looking for different types of reds that I could try. I'm really the only ones that I like right now are Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel. So mm-hmm. any advice in that direction? Or?
Yeah, definitely. So,
well, and I would say if he's already drinking Cabernets, I mean, he's got a pretty, he can take a big red wine, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you said Zinfandel, so I'm assuming you're more in the California Cabernets and California Zinfandels.
Yeah. I have a friend that I was hanging out with in college, and we watched Bottle Shock and thought that California wines are awesome.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a fantastic place to source your wines. And the only reason I ask is because then to understand the style of Cabernet and the style of Zinfandel that you enjoy. And that's what's really important, is you want to drink what you enjoy. And so those are going to be warmer regions in California. And so you're going to get more sunshine and more fruit and more ripe fruit. And so, yeah, I would say you're going to want to look for wines in the south of France. And Bordeaux makes a Cabernet. Cabernet Merlot blends, and you might want to check those out. But where I would really steer you is Southern French Cabernets. They do it fantastically. So I mentioned the Languedoc. That's spelled Languedoc. That, or go into a retail store that you trust and just say, I want a Southern French Cabernet. And trust me, you're not going to have to pay a lot either for these. For a good quality wine from that region. But stick to the Southern French ones and start there and find things that you like. And then as you start to get a little bit braver about what you're drinking, then maybe try the Bordeaux Cabernet. You might find that just as some people go from coffee with cream and sugar, they might start to say, oh, I want a little less sugar, a little less cream. Some don't. Some always like cream and sugar. But, you know, your palate may start to change too, and you might start to really enjoy a Bordeaux Cabernet. Or, you know, you may even go even further north and have a Cabernet Franc from the Loire, which is even more acidic. You know, so I would start Southern French Cabernets. Even you could have fun in the Southern French. The Grenache, I think you would love Grenache, by the way. So check that out. Those are good places to start. I could go on and on. I got to like zip the lip sometimes. So
does that help, Nathan?
Yep, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much. And happy wine sampling. And you can join in. We have a few more minutes with Jessica Bell. You can call 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1-800-324-3634. And we had a question from Elizabeth on Facebook. She asks, what wine do you recommend for a beer lover?
Wow. And you know, it's funny. I would ask, well, what kind of beer do you like?
It's
right?
True.
Because if you like hoppy beers, so hoppy beers are going to be more bitter, then you might like more astringent wines. So either higher acid wines from, say, the Loire, so a Sancerre. Sancerre would actually be great if you like hoppy wines, I think. Or even maybe red that are more tannic. So again, maybe a Pinot Noir from Burgundy. If you're more of a Belgian beer drinker like I am, then you're probably going to like, you like the maltier flavors, the sweeter, not sweet, but just a sweeter, mm-hmm. rounder note. Then you're going to go, again, want to go south.
Almost a caramelly.
Yeah. So Grenache. I keep going back to Grenache. It's just, I think it's so overlooked. It's starting to become really hot on the market right now. But it is a great grape to check out. So I would say, depending where you are on that...
on the beer spectrum.
Yeah. And Alsace is a great thing, place to check out, too. Because if you like beer, you like things that are chilled, you like them to be cold. And so Alsace is fun. And their major grapes are going to be Riesling. But then they also have Pinot Gris and Pinot Blanc as some of their... And Gewürztraminer, which is... way out there, fun grape, but unlike any other, really. But the Pinot Blanc might be interesting for you.
And again, Blanc or Blanc and Rouge is white and red. For,
right.
Again, identifying things on those labels.
And Noir is usually the red grapes. Yep. So Pinot Noir or Pinot Blanc, or you have Pinot Gris. So they're all coming from the Pinot family. This is an interesting fact. Most white wines are mutations of red grapes.
Hmm.
So they all start. They think they all started off as red grapes, and then the white grapes were mutations of the red grapes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Talking with Jessica Bell from My Wine School about French wines on Bastille Day, July 14th, the French national holiday. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, a recent French citizen, talking about French wine and earlier French food. And just to let you know, on the Facebook page, there are some great recipes from Chef Betsy Piper. Tell us about My Wine School, Jessica.
Yeah, we do wine classes. We've got one coming up next week, wine and cheese, which I know you'd
Ooh,
like.
Yes.
and
you know me well.
Right. And we actually work with the Milk Marketing Board. So Sarah Hill from Milk Marketing Board is going to come in and we'll pair 6 to 7 wines with 6 to 7 artisanal cheeses at Bavette, which is my sister's butcher shop. They source local animals and butcher them on the spot there. So,
and that's in the
That's in Milwaukee. World. Yep. In the third ward. And so I do classes and I'm doing a lot more writing. I've been writing for some magazines. We also do a trip to Spain. So we're doing international wine trips and we've got one coming up October. We have about 15 people signed up for that one. And then we're working on another one. Details to be announced soon, but May of 2015. That'll be an exciting, that's more of a food and wine trip.
Great. And so at mywineschool.com, what can people find there?
Well, we've got all kinds of things in terms of educational resources. We're doing what we call winecasts, webcasts about wine. So you can watch those and really start to learn about wine for free. We did those live. We probably will bring those back in the next year. So I had some consulting work with the Republic of Georgia and then I had a baby. And so, you know, but
we were busy there.
Life happens. And so maybe in the future we'll get some more, but they're all archived there. I also have worked with Wisconsin Foodie, so a lot of those segments are there. A lot of the stuff, you know, all the stuff that I have done on the Morning Blend and with you guys is all there. So great, quick wine resources. Also, In Between the Vines podcast, I work with them. So just tons of free resources for learning about wine.
And again, that's mywineschool.com.
Correct.
So in just the minute or so we have left, if people are still feeling a little hesitant about, you know, jumping in on French wines, what are the most important things to think of?
I think it's important first to just understand that, you know, no one knows it all. No one does. And so you got to just have fun with it and look at each opportunity as an opportunity to learn and then just go at it, you know, go to the store and it's overwhelming. I get it. It's really overwhelming. But if there's a certain grape you like, let's say, you know, you like Sauvignon Blanc, figure out the grapes that are in France, or the regions that are in France making. So the Loire, Sancerre specifically, and Bordeaux. If you like those, now go look for those. Try them. See, you might start to migrate to more French wines. Or if you like Cabernet, check out Bordeaux, or we talked about Southern France. If you like Pinot Noir, check out a Burgundy. And I think that's a great way to start moving into them. Or if you stylistically like New World wines, like I said, start in the south of France. And then just have fun. And every time you like a wine, tell someone you trust at the retail store or restaurant that you do and ask them to suggest something new that's similar.
Jessica Bell from My Wine School. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks so much, Judith.
Always a lot of fun. And coming up tomorrow at 11, we have Rick Seney of FairCompare.com with us for the whole 90 minutes. I know a lot of you are excited about that. He'll share 7 ways to get through security faster and how what you don't know about air travel can hurt you this summer. So tune in. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.